I'm going to miss some of those songs through the year. I think we ought to sing some Christmas songs like in July.
Amen.
You know? Like the idea. You know, the ones that are glorifying God. And, you know, I don't think there's no reason to just keep them for the coldest, darkest times of the year. And so, anyhow, praise God. As you know, we're talking about, well, I'm tying this in to Christmas, the time that we celebrate the birth of Christ. And what does God require of thee? You know, we often, when we have birthdays or times of sharing and giving gifts, we find out what the other person wants, right? There's no sense in me buying something for my wife that she really doesn't want. There's no sense of me pouring out a lot to give her something that she doesn't need or even desire. So I get to know her and I get to find out what does she require of me. Not to prove my love, but just because I love her and I want to show her my appreciation towards her. And so I think about things and I say that, and as I'm using my wife as an example, we really don't swap gifts.
But it sounds
yeah, I'm recording. It did sound good, didn't it? It sounded like we really give a lot to each other. Physical stuff, not so much, but we give each other all of ourselves all through the year, right? And, I mean, what can I give her? She already has. She married me. She has everything. Right? So, don't. Shush. You know?
She needs our prayers.
Amen. Yes, she does. And so as I was thinking about that, and I was going through my regular reading, I'm in Deuteronomy and working through that in several other books in the Bible. What doth the Lord require of thee? From Deuteronomy chapter 10. And we started this work last week. And as we're thinking about, what does God really want you to have? What does he want you to give? And the first thing he talks about is the fear of the Lord. And if you look up the fear of the Lord, you say it's mentioned over 30 times in the Word of God, how God desires, well, actually, if you look at the fear of the Lord or just fearing the Lord, it's over 60 some odd times that it's mentioned between the two. But anyhow, the fear of the Lord. Why? Well, Psalm 34:7, it's because the fear of the Lord will deliver you. All right? Psalm 19:7-14, it talks about it. The fear of the Lord will cleanse you, bring you into truth and righteousness. Amen? When you really start fearing the Lord, you're going to have knowledge from Proverbs 1:7, from Proverbs 9:10. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, these things come from fear. These are the blessings of God to those who fear him. Don't be afraid of fearing God. When you fear God, God gives you certain abilities that you cannot have if you do not fear him. So if you do fear him, he's going to bless you, walk with you, protect you, going to grant you some things. He's going to grant you a prolonged life. Amen? You say, well, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. Amen. But I tell you what, if you're fearing God, walking in the holiness and the righteousness of God, you're probably not going to die of drug overdose when you're 13. You're probably not going to be shot in a robbery if you're robbing the bank and you get shot. If you're fearing God, you're not going to be involved in carjacking. If you're fearing God, you're not going to be involved in alcoholism. If you're fearing God, you're not going to be involved with extramarital physical delicacies. You know, you're not going to be in that. You're, and that will prolong your life. Amen. You will live longer and happier. Even if the individual does not trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now catch this. If you fear God and you walk in his statutes and in his ways, you will be blessed. He even blesses the heathen that doesn't know God if they walk in the statutes of God. Amen. Now, he doesn't grant you eternal life until you believe him as your Lord and Savior. But as you're on this plane, in this earth, if you learn to fear God and walk in his laws and his commandments, I will guarantee you a more peace-filled life. Right?
For the nations.
For the nations. Amen. And he's not talking about everybody got to be saved. I pray that everybody would be saved, but not everybody is going to be saved. If America truly feared God, this whole same-sex, transgender garbage that's going on right now would not be happening. Amen. Right? If the church would fear God, we wouldn't have Bolshevistic pastors in the pulpits teaching communism to their people. Right? But it's the fear of God. He prolongs life. When you fear God, Proverbs 19:23, he says, you can abide in satisfaction. He abides in being, it says, actually satisfied. You abide with him if you fear him, and you can be satisfied. That guy from the Rolling Stones, I can't get no satisfaction, that's because he did not abide in God. If you abide in God, no matter what state you're in, therewith you can be content. Amen? That's all the benefits of fearing God. he gives you stability in Isaiah 33:6. Who thinks it's a little rocky right now? Right? If you're fearing God, you don't have to worry about the winds. Jesus talked about a man who trusts him is like a man who digs down into the solid foundation and builds his house. And then there's another picture right beside it of the man who builds his house on the shifting sand. The storms come against it, right? So the same storm, you need stability. You need to be grounded on the solid foundation of the fear of God, loving God, honoring God. And when you're there, no matter what the storm, you're stable. Amen? Cancer comes in your life, you're fearing God, guess what? You're stable. You know, your child is born with a what we would consider a defect. But God doesn't consider it a defect. God made that person the way he made that person. And he loves that person just the way that person is made. A child with Down syndrome, boy, I tell you what a blessing. I've known children, amen, that have Down syndrome, and I have not found a more loving and caring and compassionate human on the planet than somebody who has that. Is it a difficulty for the parents? No doubt. Or is it a blessing for the parents? It makes the parents look up to God. So anyhow, he allows you stability and treasure. Oh, if you honor the Lord with your wealth, he will honor you with his wealth. Who would rather have God's wealth? I would. I'd much rather have God's wealth than the wealth of this world. It never lasts. So if you're fearing God, you're honoring him that way. When you fear God, Proverbs 8:13 and following says, he will teach you how to hate evil. Amen? And when I fear God and his righteousness, his commandments, his statutes, then evil, I can't stand it. And it's not that I can't stand it in the world, because the world's going to be that way. You know where I can't stand evil? Right here. In my heart. I can't stand it. And Tom and I and Kevin and Doug and several others have talked about this. I hate the evil that is within me. Amen. Yes. I loathe it, you know? And I got to be careful with that, because we got a bread family and they eat a lot of loathes. Ooh, bad boom. So, loathes. Hate evil. How about hating pride and arrogancy? If you fear God, you know what? You're going to hate pride. And you're not going to hate the pride of the world, because the world, again, does what the world does. But in me, I hate my pride. I hate my arrogance. Why? Because I fear God. And I know God will judge those that are prideful and that are arrogant. He'll judge them by their word. So in that, God has taught me how to hate that. When I fear God, when I walk in his righteousness, Acts 9:31 tells me that I can grow, I can be edified, and I can be comforted. Amen? Those are all the things. Those are just scratching, or actually it's not even scratching the surface, it's like looking at a paint job, right? That's just the clear coat. The more that you dig into it, the richer and more fuller and greater it becomes. And more confidence I gain in Christ in me as I fear him. So church, never be afraid to fear God. Fear God and never walk in fear again. Amen? So that's the first thing that God requires of you, is to fear him. Next thing that we're going to talk about today is to walk in his ways. What does it mean to walk in the ways of God? Well, first you got to know his ways, right? Doug, how do you know the ways of God? That's the what? What is that you held up? What is that
I
book?
I held up the KJV Bible.
Amen. It's the King James Bible. How do I know the ways of God? Well, it's not because just what Joshua told me. You know what? Joshua can be wrong. Tom can be wrong. Bill can be wrong. Justin's never wrong. right? There are those, if you follow man, you will not find the will of God often. But if you follow the word of God, you will always follow him. Walking in his ways, it tells us in Psalm 119. And I'm going to flip over there real quick. I was supposed to be there, but I was yattering. Often I almost quote this verse. Amen? Oh, that's because I'm not even there yet. Psalm 119. Oh, that's why I'm in Proverbs. I said, it doesn't go that far. And so, 105. And, there's so, actually, all of one Psalm 119, if you want to take time to read it all talks to you about walking in the ways of the Lord. Golly, I have so much underlined in this psalm. Okay. Okay, just real quick, and now that I... All right, so we're in 119. All right, and so in 119, I'm just going to buzz off a couple things I have underlined here because they're all really, really, really good. Verse 32, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. All right, teach me, O Lord, 33, the ways of thy statutes, and I shall keep them unto the end. Give me understanding, and I will keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. All right, this is all about walking with God in his word. You can delight in it. You can grow in it. You can have understanding through it. Verse 45 of the same place. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. Verse 48, I will my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Wow! What happens, Kevin, what happens when you start doing those things?
You're going to walk.
Amen? You're going to walk. You're going to learn how to meditate. Yeah. See, when I was I'm an offspring of the child of the 60s, right? And we thought of meditating like the old Moody Blues, heaven, right? That kind of garbage. But no, that's meditating in the ways of the world. That's meditating in the ways of Buddha. That's not where you don't get any peace there. I tried that meditation. It didn't do nothing for me. Verse 11. Yeah, I started in 33. He held up. I thought it was going field goal things. 119:11. Thy word I have hidden mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Oh, amen. Right? When you start walking in his ways, you're taking his word, you're hiding it in your heart, and it's changing everything about you. It's changing your aspect of life. It's changing about where you're going to go, how you're going to get there. again in verse 56, this I had because I kept thy precepts, right? I had things. God honored me with his life, with his presence. And so meditation 97, meditation in 99. I was going to do 105. All right, so I don't want to skip 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. When you're walking with God, these things start to happen in your life. But you got to be walking in his way. You got to be walking in his will. And anyone here, well, besides me, that walked without the light of God? Amen? How many times you stub your toe? Fall off the narrow way. How many times did you trip up in your own imagination? How many times did you think something that was not godly and you believed that thing that was not godly and it led you into a long period of wickedness in your heart? I don't want to remember those times, but I remember them as a warning for myself and for anybody else. Why? Because I didn't use His Word to be a lamp unto my feet, His Word to be a light in my path. We're walking through dark, dangerous times. And Jesus came to be a light, to be a life for us. And so His ways, if you go through Psalm 119, you will find, what's that word, plethora? You will find a plethora of good biblical understanding about walking in His way. And again, over here, my board's kind of messed up because I started it wrong. I'll fix it by next week. Anyhow, so part two, walking in His ways. It's a choice to fear God or to fear man. You know that? When you choose to walk in His ways, you're choosing His will, His righteousness, His thoughts above your own. And just before Jesus was speaking here in John 12, if you'll turn over there, it's just a little short piece of scripture there that we're going to look at. 12 and 42. Say amen when you get there, John 12, 42. Amen. Amen. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on Him. Now catch this. There's a lot of people who were Jewish leaders, Pharisees and Sadducees, that believed on Jesus. Right? He said many of them. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on Him. But the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. All right? They believed Him, but they didn't confess Him. All right? What does that confession mean? Walk in His ways. Right? Because it's more than just a verbal confession, although He's talking about a verbal confession here. It's more than just saying it with your mouth. It's walking it with your life. Yeah. And why didn't they do it? Verse 43, they didn't walk with Him. They didn't talk. For they loved the praise of man more than the praise of God. Who you fear? Are you fearing man? Oh, I would love to share the gospel with Uncle So-and-so, but I really fear them. I would really love to show the mercy of God to my next door neighbor who happens to be, you name the religion, or no religion at all. He might be a self-God, right? But I really don't want to ruin my friendship with them. If I speak the truth of God's word, I'm afraid that I will offend them. Guilty? Right? Guilty?
Amen.
Amen? Forgive me, God. This is people fail. Talks about people failing right there. John 12, 42 and 43. Because they feared God, feared man more than they feared God. They failed. They believed. It said that they believed. Even some of the Pharisees believed, but because they feared the thought of other human beings, they failed God.
Compare that to Romans 10, 9, and 10.
Yeah. Amen. Right. Yes.
Confess.
Yep. Yep. If we confess and believe in our heart,
yep.
Right, then God does some. And in the Old Testament, in Joshua, I love the book of Joshua. I love the whole thing. Joshua 24. Hmm. 14 through 16. This is again the failing of people, right? Because people really not fearing God with what are walking in God's ways or walking in the holiness of God. Say amen when you get there. Amen. 24 and 14 of Joshua. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites. in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and to serve other gods. Right? That's what they said, but what did they did? They didn't hold up to their end of the bargain. God held up to his end of the bargain. He brought them into the promised land. He said that this is yours. You're going to live in houses that you didn't build. You're going to eat from crops that you didn't plant. I'm going to bless you. But when you get there, you're going to forget about me. It's the failure of mankind. And it repeats over and all through Judges. It's the failure of mankind. God raises them up after they repent. The failure of mankind, they repent. He raises them up. He raises up a judge and delivers them over and over and again. Who fails in all of those attempts? Man. My favorite two words in the whole Bible. But God. Amen. Amen. But God. Are we going to fail in walking in his ways? Amen. Hey, Steve, you're going to fail walking in the ways of God? Amen. Right? Right? How about you? What is your name? Yeah.
Not giving it. Jan and Dean.
That sounds
Dan Dean. See, I wanted to call him Doug so bad, but I knew Doug was up here. And Dean. And so, yeah, Doug was out of the hot seat because I couldn't remember the other guy's name. Anyhow, how many times have we failed God by not walking in his way? Right? I have. Hundreds of times. But God, go
it's
ahead.
Like, it's like the Lord asks us every generation, like the Joshua and the people of his generation died off.
Yeah.
And the judges started.
Yeah.
Then the people had to get dealt with again.
Again.
Continually. One generation to the next.
Amen.
You know, we see the wonders of God in our lives, but our children, they don't know anything until they experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And what are we as fathers and grandfathers supposed to do to teach our children? Teach them the ways of the Lord. Teach them to fear God. Teach them to walk in his ways. Teach them to...
Yeah, like frontless. But it seems like every generation has got to have their awakening.
Amen.
It seems, however...
When you're thinking that or saying that, because that was in my thought process, are we coming up on an awakening? I know that we're coming up on a shaking.
It's going to happen.
Now, I'm not talking about a worldwide revival. That's not what I'm saying. But I think those who are truly seeking God with the fullness of their heart
individually
are moving away from the doctrines of devils and the teachings of men. We're moving away from that once confessed, always saved thought. We're moving away from that you'll never face the tribulation. We're moving away. Huh?
They're calling them out now.
Yeah.
See, more and more
right?
Of that.
Yeah.
And so we are in that time, but we need to know how to walk in his ways. But God, see, the movement of God, we went through a lot of these this morning. The movement of God, the promise of Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. Jesus, the Savior of the world. God knew that we weren't going to always to be able to keep up our end of the covenant. Amen? How many times, I cannot count you the times that I've come short of my end of the deal. But God, he took up the slack, and as I confess my sin, which is coming short of the deal, my end of the covenant, I wasn't able to hold it up. I come to the foot of the cross with a high expectation and the fear of him coming again. So then he says, all right, Curtis, if you really love me, adjust your path. You've been walking your way for so long. You've been going your way, and you went away from the narrowness. You stopped following the light that was in your path, the lamp that was on your feet. You walked away from those things. Now you're going your way, and you're finding out it doesn't work. How many here have tasted and seen that the ways of the world are not what they appear to be? They are sweet at the beginning, but they're bitter in the end. There's nothing this world brings you that is good except for Christ Jesus. Everything else is an illusion of what good is supposed to be. So how do we do that? Well, we got to adjust our path to get back on that narrow way that leads to righteousness, because the broad way leads to death and destruction. We've got to make adjustments. And how do you make adjustments? You make adjustments by knowing who Jesus is, following his word, putting his word above your thoughts, above your heart, above your life, and start trusting in him. See, I couldn't do it, but Micah 5:2 says, but God, right? He will send forth a ruler, right? Micah, and so if you don't know where Micah is, Joel, Hosanna, Hosanna, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and then Micah. Micah 5. All right, God knew that things were going bad. If you read the first part of Micah before you get here, you find out that there's bad stuff going on, right? There's really horrible things that are happening there. But Micah says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be a ruler in Israel, whose going forth is having been from old, from everlasting. Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth. Hey, and we didn't go over that this morning, did we? Did you do Micah?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay. All right. Sorry. Good. I finally got ahead of you. See, he teaches Sunday school, so he's always one step ahead of me. Ha ha. I jumped the gun. Therefore, he will give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and be fed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide now, great unto the ends of the earth. All right? Of the Assyrian. Anyhow, there's a lot more in here. What I'm getting at is, but God. Things were really got bad, but God says, listen, out of the smallest of the small, the most insignificant place in all of Judah, I'm going to bring forth somebody. Someone's going to come. His name is Emmanuel. It's Jesus. It's God with us. Isaiah, I know we went over this morning. Isaiah 7, 14 and 16 and 9, 1 through 7. So if you'll flip over there, this is the but God portion of the sermon. Things are bad everywhere but God. Those who walk in his ways, who trust him with the fullness of their heart and lives, there is a promise that that goes way beyond time. Amen. And so, Isaiah 7, 14. If you're there, say amen. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse evil and to choose good. For before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good, the land that that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. 16. Okay, beautiful, because I was about ready to read on some more. So God says that he's going to send somebody that's going to be born of a virgin. When did that happen? Who knows the rest of the Christmas story? All right, this is the prophecy of it, that God said, listen, things are going to be bad, but I'm going to do something extraordinary. I'm going to do something that is physically impossible. Pretty much like Sarah and Abram. Right? Physically, it can't happen. Not going to do it. Just too old. It isn't going to happen for you. That's what they thought. Elizabeth and Zechariah. Thank you. Zechariah. Again, it's impossible for you. And now he's going to take a young woman that has never known a man, a virgin, never touched by man. And he's going to conceive in her the seed of the Most High God.
Conceive.
Right? Conceive is like 9 months before delivery, right? And if they're going to be delivered in the spring, like the rest of the lambs, they've got to be conceived 9 months before, which would be around December-ish. Amen? Anyhow, just a thought. God knew that there had to be a way because man could not do it in and of himself. We all fail. We all sin. We all come short of the glory of God. But God, with his great mercy, says, I'm sending Emmanuel, God with us. I'm going to send him and he's going to go before you. He's going to prepare a place for you. He's going to be holy and just for you and make a place. 8:8, and he shall pass through Judah, and he shall overflow and go over, and he shall reach even to the neck, and the stretching out of his wings shall be the breath of thy land, O Emmanuel, God with us.
Ten.
Amen. I'm going to read 9. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give an ear, all you fair countries, gird yourselves, ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Take counsel together, and it shall come to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Emmanuel, God. All right, say what you will. Believe what you're going to, but those who are in Christ Jesus that are walking in his ways, God is with you. Things are going to look bad. Things are going to look like they're not going to work out. Amen? They're going to look that way. In fact, they look that way now. I can't see how God's going to pull this off. But a virgin gave birth. All right? I don't see how it's going to work out. I don't see how all of this evil that is in the world that we're seeing right now, how it's all going to come to a head and God's going to fix it all. I mean, I see it through the Word of God. But I can't fathom it in my thought. I read it in the Word of God, but I still just see it as through a glass dimly. I don't really see the whole picture. But I have faith because I'm walking in His ways. I'm walking in His Word. I can believe even though I cannot see. Because God loves you. In those times, like he said in verse 10 right there, or verse 9 and 10, that there's going to be an upwhelming of evil, right? We're going to watch that. But that's okay. God's with you. Don't worry about those things. John chapter 15. Say amen when you get there. There's a comforter. He's come. But at this point in time, he is still yet to come. Right? 15, 10 through 20. Jesus talking to Philip here and the rest of the disciples, but he's talking them to him. I was in 14. Sorry. I was going to read to you something completely incorrect. So, Joshua, you're always right in these things. It's so hard to start in the middle. Go ahead. And one, up.
Praise God.
Praise God. Amen. This walking with God is really about abiding with Him. It's more than just learning what to do, but it's abiding with Him. What I can see about walking in the ways of God, I can't do it in and of myself. So what do I do? How can I make something impossible for my flesh to happen? I need to abide in the one that was able to make it happen. That's the whole about John chapter 15, is the abiding in Him. And he's talking about that, and he's talking about to Philip, and he says in verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? And the words I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also. But greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and he will manifest himself to him. Did you see what God's doing here? All of it. All of it. Because I can't do these things without him. I can't abide without him. I can't keep his word without him. I can't keep his commandments without him. I can't keep his ways without him. But as I do, he sends me something called the Comforter, the Helper. And what does the Helper do? He guides me into all truth. He makes it where I cannot walk in his ways. He makes it that I can walk in his ways. He makes me not see my own light that leads to death and unrighteousness. And he makes me see the true light that leads to life everlasting and peace everlasting. Because God is dwelling in us, the Emmanuel, God with us, and he's moving us in a direction that the body of Christ can glorify him, not in some things, but in all things. But without walking in his ways, I can't do it. And I can't do it without his indwelling spirit in me. These things are impossible with man, but with God, all things are possible. These are things that you don't see with your fleshly eyes. These are the things that you can only see with your spiritual eyes. A virgin giving birth. I still can't wrap my head around that. Can't happen. It is absolutely impossible. But God. Dying on a cross and rising 3 days later from the dead. Absolutely. Tom, is that possible? Can't do it.
Try it.
Houdini said he was coming, right? Houdini said he was coming back. Guess where he's at? He's in a hole in the ground somewhere. He ain't coming back until the resurrection. Then he's going to come back for damnation. It's the only time he's coming back. So, trusting God, walking in his ways, walking in his righteousness, that he might fulfill the truth of God in you. Not for your benefit, but for the benefit for everybody who's around you. You know that none of these things are for you. All of these things are in you that you can glorify him. Because the whole scripture is for him. It's about him. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about him. How do we love each other? How do we walk in the righteousness of God? How do we fulfill his ways and his will? How do we walk in his ways that we might know him? Well, he says, if you love me, follow my commandments. His commandments, his statutes, his righteousness. Not anything that I can do in and of myself, but everything that he can do. The only things that he can, well, the only things. Never put a parameter around God. In your little finite mind, and you think that God only works this way, guess what you'll find out? You are wrong. Amen. Because God is beyond our ways, our wills. So God brings us into places and leads us into things that we cannot do on our own. If we're walking in his ways, he's going to bring us into challenges that are outside our ability to complete. right? That's what he does. God never calls you to an easy path. Anybody ever experienced that? If it's easy, chances are God didn't do it, right? But if it's hard, if it's more difficult than what you can do, but you heard God calling you to do that, guess what? It's probably Him. It's probably Him saying, stop trusting in yourself and start trusting in me. Trust in me fully, and I will complete the work of God in you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, it's up there on the board. You can turn there. Say amen when you get there. 10, yeah. He's talking about it's going to the day of judgment, right? We can't get through a Sunday school or a teaching without the day of judgment. I think it's coming like a snowball. It's happening. It's coming quick. Amen. So he's talking about Sodom and Gomorrah in verse 15, the day of judgment for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues, and ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for in it shall be given to you, given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Amen. All right? God's saying, listen, it's going to get difficult, but God. It's going to be hard to walk in the ways of God as we see the day approaching. It's going to become more and more and more difficult because people are going to be coming against you. And not just people that you don't know, but those in your own household. And they're going to deliver you up. They will. The world will. Those who do not believe in the way of the Lord, those who do not believe in the Word of God, they believe some other thing, they're going to say, Debbie, well, they won't say it to you. No. Yeah, they will. Because if you're standing for righteousness' sake, they will hate you. They're going to hate you. We go back to John 15 for that. But they will hate you for it. They're going to deliver you up. But you walk in the ways of God. You walk in the righteousness of God. And no matter what they do to you, you will be able to speak truth into their foolishness. You'll be able to teach them the way, the truth, and the life as they are trying to snuff out your existence. Now, this is a hard Christmas message, isn't it? Remember these two words in all of this, but God. God, He's the worker of the impossible. He's the one who takes the things that you cannot do, that you cannot bear, and makes you able to bear them. He comes into you. He dwells in you. He covers you with His righteousness, with His thoughts, as you walk in His way. Now, if I'm not walking in the ways of God when these times come, I can be going to church 7 days a week. I can be saying all the right things, but not walking in the ways of God. When this storm comes, when it happens, just like Jesus says, you will not be able to stand. You will give in. You will take the mark. All right? And I know many Christians are saying, I'll never take the mark. Well, actually, you got to worry about taking the mark because I'm going to be floated away out of here long before that happens.
But they're told they can take the mark.
Oh, by yes.
People that are respected.
That's right.
Yes. That's right. False teachers are telling them right now that you can take the mark and God will still forgive you. Which is absolutely contrary to the Word of God.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Amen. Yep. Danger, danger, Will Robinson.
Yep. Yep.
In those things, the only way that we'll be protected through that is not by doing it our way. It has to be His way. It has to be the way. Jesus said, I am life. Thank you. truth, and the way. No man goes to the Father but by me or through me. Right? You cannot get to the other side without walking in Him. You can't be accepted into the kingdom without the indwelling of the Spirit of God. And if you are indwelt with the Spirit of God, then He's going to allow the fear of the Lord to come over you, which will grant you knowledge and wisdom and prolong life, satisfy stability, teaches you how to hate evil and all that kind of stuff. It will deliver you. It will teach you His ways, though you would not sin against Him. But you got to have it in you before it ever is produced out of you. You got to have it in you. So this year, do you want, or you got to want this? If you seek the Lord with all your heart, you'll find Him. Are you prepared this year to really get serious with God? To want to walk in His ways so much that you won't follow your heart? Who here has heard that saying, follow your heart? Who here has done that? Where did it lead? We're all there. If you follow your heart, where are you going to end up?
Where you don't
want to be. If you follow His ways, regardless of what your heart tells you, you will find yourself in the narrow way. You'll find yourself in the light, the way that leads to righteousness. If you walk in your ways, chances are you're going to wake up in hell someday. Right? You walk in His way, regardless of how narrow and how hard and how difficult. And it is. It is. There's nothing easy about being a Christian. Nothing. It is the hardest thing you'll ever do. Because you got to die. Not a physical death. Because, you know, I mean, you will die a physical death. But it's not about the physical. I need to die to my will. I need to die to my way. I need to die to the way I see things if God sees them a different way. I need to walk in His ways. That's what God desires. That's what He requires. I keep saying desire because in other translations it has desire instead of require. Is there a difference between desire and require?
Yeah.
There's a huge difference. The other translations say desire. All right? It's not a God doesn't desire. He requires this of you. If you're going to make it to glory, He requires that you walk in His way. And then the blessings of that happen. There's blessings in walking with God that you cannot receive outside of that. Anyhow, Merry Christmas.
Before you close, can
yeah,
I
please.
Point something out?
Yes.
It's and let me read you a couple of verses here. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying. That verse is tucked between Jesus who saves from sins and Emmanuel, God with us.
Yes.
First and second coming.
Amen.
And I wouldn't be surprised if His name changes for us when He comes.
Well, we know He has a name written that no man knows. There's a new name coming. And I'm promised a new name,
amen.
Right? No longer will I be known as Cortez Hernandez. Not that I've ever been known by that. Amen. I got something new coming.
Yeah.
If I walk in His way. Yeah.
We've worn out these names.
Amen.
We've
beaten Him to death.
Defiled
Him. Amen.
A long time ago.
A long time ago.
You know, you mentioned that this is a hard Christmas message. I'm just seeing it the opposite way, and I pray that these people see it the opposite way.
Yeah.
Did you call Doug and say, hey, at the end of the message, will you please?
Okay. I got that call.
And Tom, don't forget to bring this up. And, Dean, don't let me catch your name. The Holy Spirit's working all day today.
He is.
He's proven that the Comforter is here.
Yeah.
All right? Which proves that Christ wasn't born for nothing.
For nothing.
And didn't
he wasn't
for
born
nothing.
For naught. Okay. All right?
I see it clearly.
Amen. I do too, my brother.
Most churches today, somebody's reading
Yeah.
And they all get done and go, well, that was a good saving. Yeah. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Let's go see if the fat man broke into our house with reindeer. Actually, if there are reindeer on my roof, I'm shooting one of them.
They're going to read Matthew 1.
Yeah.
And they're going to be dismissed.
Right. Amen. They're going to be Matthew 1. Y'all, bless you. You know, and anyhow, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't want to go that way. I want to leave. Amen. I want to leave this thought with you. Fear God. Walk in His. God requires this: to fear Him, to walk in His ways, to love Him, to serve Him, to keep His commandments and statutes. For the next four more teachings, that's where we're going to be at. I put it on the board. Because if not, I'll forget it. So I write it down. Right?
It's interesting he used the word fear and said afraid.
Yes!
Because if you fear Him, you won't be afraid. But if you don't fear Him, there'll come a day.
Perfect love.
You'll be afraid.
Cast out fear. So I'm not afraid of Him. Right? But I fear Him.
The fear of man bringeth a snare.
Oh, yes.
You fear God, and you won't fear men.
What is that? I think that is Matthew 10. No, it isn't. I had that written down. I didn't put it on the board. Don't fear a man who can only take away your life, but fear him who is able to take your life and cast your soul into hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there is fear God. So what can man do to you? He'll kill you.
Yeah.
Send me home. Send me home. Not worried about
me.
Amen. Yeah, make sure you're saved. You know? Well, if you're... I truly believe this. If you're really saved, there is no fear in death.
No.
Oh, death,
no.
Where is your sting?
That's right.
Grave, where is your victory?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It's gone. I do not fear death. Not even a moment. I don't fear the grave.
It's persevering to the end.
Thank you.
That's my way to
say Amen. You got to persevere until the end.
Don't even worry about the way you're going to die.
No!
The apostles and Stephen.
Yeah.
There's no fear in them.
No!
They're smiling.
You're going to be released from
yes.
a body of sin and death.
Thank
you're
you.
Going to be released from that.
I am prompt. Go ahead, Alan.
I've told you before, I believe in testimonies. I have one there.
Uh-huh.
I had a telemarketer tell me if I hang up on him, he's going to come and kill me. And I says, and you're going to send me to heaven where there is no pain and suffering? Why do I fear you?
What a selling technique. What was he, in the mafia? You know?
You buy this car.
And I'm Amway. If you don't buy on ya, I'm going to kill you. Oh, praise God. But you're right. It's we have no fear because we fear God. My life is kept in Him. Not just this life I'm breathing now, but an eternal life. Why? Because He came the first time. Amen?
Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Do you believe it?
I'll tell you something, Tom. I believe in His next return as much as His first return.
Amen.
His first coming. His first coming is proven. It's history.
That's right.
You can find out. You can go through the records. You can find it out.
Right.
Right?
His life has been documented.
Yeah.
Outside of the Bible.
Amen. Outside of the Bible. I mean, there was a real time where Herod the treacherous had all of the male children in Bethlehem.
That's right.
Ephrata of Judah. Yeah. Thank you, my brother. Had all of the male children from 3 years old down murdered.
I know we're kind of going off here. Just some little something on the side that's not in your Bible. Anybody know the girl that danced in front of Herod to take off John Baptist's head?
Herodias.
Anybody know her name?
Herodias.
That's the mother. Anybody know the daughter's name?
Salome.
Oh, yeah.
That's not in the Bible. That's been historically documented that the daughter danced before Herod.
Yeah.
And her name was Salome.
Oh.
That's been documented. Mm-hmm.
I always thought that was just Salome. But yeah, you're right. It is. There are absolute facts outside of. Read the book of Josephus if you really want to read a historical book, right? And you can find Christ and His resurrection in the book of a non-believer historian that wrote about Jesus' death and resurrection. And so, anyhow, he came the first time. He's coming again.
Amen.
And when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? Only if you're walking in his way. Only if you're fearing him. If you are fearing him and walking in his way, then yes, he will find faith on the earth. Unless you get called out quicker than that.
Now we celebrate his first coming.
Amen.
Soon we'll celebrate the second.
Amen. I mean, yeah, he came the first time as the perfect Lamb of God. Innocent and sweet, and the angels singing and the shepherds worshiping. But when he comes again, the sky's going to be rolled back as a scroll. And he's going to descend from his throne with a shout, the voice of an archangel. And all unrighteousness will be crushed under his feet.
And we will know what joy really is.
Amen. Yeah, when that joy to the world, the Lord has come, we ain't even seen joy in this world. Even that his first advent. Well, think about his first advent. How much joy was in that? Alone in a trough, a feeding trough, and we have this picture, right? And the cattle are lowing, which is not in the Bible.
Wise men are there.
But there was a host of celebration.
There's a host of celebration. Amen. The angels celebrated.
What a celebration.
Amen.
The next one.
Yeah. When he comes with thousands and thousands of his saints, all of the holy angelic host with him, and the great cloud of witnesses. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen. Folks, I love you. I want you to go into this Christmas time remembering Christ. Not just his first advent, but his soon return. I believe he's coming again soon. There are some things we got to see, and we're not going to get into that because it's already after 12:30. There are some things we've got to see physically on this earth that Jesus told us to watch out for. If you want to know where they're at, they're in Matthew 24, they're in Luke, they're in John, they're in the Revelation, they're in Daniel.
Jeremiah.
It's
everywhere.
The whole Bible.
Yeah. But there are things we got to look forward to. And those things will happen. And so, well, I'm going to pray. I'm sorry. I got to go. Not until I pray for you. Father, we love you. We praise you. I lift up my body, the body I'm connected to, Charity Bible. I thank you for these souls. I pray for each of these saints that are here, Father, that you would fill them with the truth and the love of your word, Father, that we would live in the righteousness that you've called us to. I pray, Father, that through this next year, we would remember you, your love, your grace, your power. And as we go from this place, from this building, help us to walk in your way. Lord, don't let it just be a cute saying on our bumper. But let us walk in the fullness and the righteousness of God, that the world might see you in us, and your name be glorified. Thank you for those things, in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's all right.
If you hadn't got up, I would have kept talking.
That never made sense to me.